Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
So this morning, we're starting a new series called The Apprenticeship. We're in the Sermon on the Mount, and what we've seen Jesus talking, this was his first sermon that he ever preached, and what we see Jesus challenging us with and talking to us about are the things that we need to know to be followers of Christ. If you say, I'm a believer and I'm a Christian, then your life has to show it. You have to put these things into practice. And Jesus, I don't know about you, but these have been intense sermons. I mean, Jesus was calling people out. This was his first sermon. It wasn't this little nice, like, kumbaya moment. He's going like, come on. This is what it means to be a follower of Christ. This is what it means to take your life and to give it. And Jesus would be known as, he'd walk up to people and say, oh, you want to be my disciple? Drop everything and follow me. That's how he worked. All right? So if you're saying, okay, I want to be a follower of Christ, drop everything and follow me. That's what it looks like. And so Jesus in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 was talking about the Sermon on the Mount. It's his first time he was talking to a lot of religious leaders. So he said stuff that really made them mad. He called out the religious leaders of the day because they talked big but acted completely different. In one portion of Scripture, we see Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. They look good on the inside, on the outside, but were a huge mess on the inside. And what they would do is they'd literally go and point it out at other people. They'd literally go and tell other people the things that they needed to change, but they weren't willing to change themselves. They looked good on the outside, and they could say all the right words and had all the right religious actions and activities, but were empty, and their hearts were far from God. They also missed the greatest commandment, and that's loving others. They were full of judgment. They loved to judge. They loved to put hate towards others. They felt like it was their job to tell everyone else how to live. They were whitewashed tombs. And the thing is, they knew all there was to know in the Bible because they studied what was called the Torah all the time. So they were religious leaders of the day. And we have to be so careful that we don't get to that point where we're religious but we don't love people. Some people come up to me and go, oh, you're really religious. No, I hate religion. Because religion is a list of man-made rules and things that we have to try to measure up to. I love Jesus, but I don't like religion. And when Jesus comes on the scene, what did he do? He loved people. In fact, some of his harshest words were to people who acted religious but didn't love God and didn't love people. With sinners, he came along and he said, man, I've got a better life for you. And I don't know about you, but we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. We all are. Okay? Jesus would experience this firsthand from the religious leaders of the day. Their hatred is literally what put him on the cross. Their hatred caused them to completely turn on who Jesus was. So what's an apprentice? An apprentice trains a person how to become skilled in a trade or a profession. And in this case, Jesus said, this is what you need to do to follow me. Jesus was training his followers about what it meant to follow him. In chapter 7, that God gives us some great direction. Jesus gives us some great direction and actions we need to have in place. And he did not mince words. He was very clear with people. And so today, when we read the scripture together, there is no doubt what Jesus was trying to say. So don't try to rationalize it. Don't try to say, well, you know. No, just read it for what it is. Read it for what it is. Take it for what it is. Okay? You don't have to wonder what he was thinking or what he was trying to say. And this is when you read the Bible and you study the Bible, when God is clear, when Jesus is very clear about something, you don't have to wonder. The stuff that he's a little bit ambiguous about, you can say, okay, Lord, speak to my heart. But this stuff is clear. This stuff is right down. In fact, this stuff is the red letter words of the Bible. And if you know what red letter words are, those are Jesus' words, and I'd pay attention to them. That's what red letter. If you don't have a red letter Bible, get one. Because I think that that's important. But all of it came down to this. All of what Jesus taught was based on the two greatest commandments that we're going to look at in Matthew 22 down the road a ways. But it's what our church's mission is. And we haven't talked about it for a little while. But Matthew 22, 36 through 37 from the New Living Translation tells us when the people of the world, the religious leaders were saying, okay, what's the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Okay, what they were trying to do is they were trying to trip Jesus up. And Jesus replied back, you must love the Lord with all your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. So if you want a list of things that Jesus said, that's your list. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And here's what I think. I think a lot of people don't love others because they don't love themselves first. They look in the mirror and they see everything negative that's been spoken over their lives. They look in the mirror and they've allowed the enemy to be the accuser and sit on their shoulders and tell them everything wrong about who they are. You cannot love others well until you learn to love yourself. You have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to say, okay, Jesus, I want to see things the way that you see things in my life. I want you to see myself the way that you see me. Everything else hinges on those two things, loving people, loving God, and loving people. And if you say, what's Hope City all about? That's the two things we're about, loving God and loving people and doing it well. Love the Lord with God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it all boils down to. And I said it again because I wanted to get into your heart. So what does it look to love others? And this is where it's going to get fun. Matthew 7, 1 through 6 is where we start. And I want to read it together. Do not, and this was Jesus' words, okay? Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Picture that for just a second. How many of you, like, you're walking around with a log, but you're worried about the speck in your friend's eye? How could you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your own eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, and then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. We're going to dig into this a little bit, and I think it's so important. I want to read it from the Passion Translation, which is interesting. A couple of different translations. First of all, from the Passion, it's this. Refuse to be a critic full of bias toward others, and you will not be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard that you've used to judge others. The measurement you use on them will be used on you. Why would you focus on the flaw in someone else's life and fail to notice the glaring flaws of your own? How could you say to your friend, let me show you where you're wrong, when you're guilty of even more? You're being hypocritical and a hypocrite. First, acknowledge and deal with your own blind spots. Then you'll be capable of dealing with the blind spot of your friend. Who would hang earrings on a dog's ear and throw pearls in front of wild pigs? They'll only trample them under their feet and then turn around and tear you to pieces. Here's what the message says. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomerang. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Don't be flip with the sacred. Banter and silliness give no honor to God. Don't reduce holy mysteries to slogans. And trying to be relevant, you're only being cute and inviting your sacrilege. Wow. Let that sink in for just a minute. It is so quiet in here. One of the indictments of the church today in our world is that we have spent a lot of time being judgmental and we've been hypocrites. What changes that? It's when we start loving people the way that God has called us. We are not called to be the judge. We're called to love. We spent a lot of time judging the world when we should have been loving them. Why are we so surprised when sinners sin? Why are we so surprised when people's lives are a hot mess? Why are we so surprised? Why do we take that moment where we're judgmental and we're full of condemnation? That's never going to win a person to Jesus. Jesus doesn't respond to us that way when we're wrapped up in sin and loss. Why do we? He always responds to us with love and grace. And that's the call. When you meet somebody and you feel like their life needs to be transformed, you do it by loving them. You do it by wrapping your arms around them. Being judgmental and full of condemnation, it's never going to win the day. Jesus loves people, and that's what he's calling us to respond to. The scripture's not dealing with the scripture's not only dealing with how we treat other believers, but how we treat unbelievers. Everyone that comes into our life deserves grace and love. Let me say it again. Everyone that comes into our life deserves grace and love. And I want to tell you something. I want you to start praying, Lord, help me to see people the way you see them. And it's easy to love people who are lovable, but what about the unlovable people in your life? We're like, man, they drive me nuts. I want to tell them everything they need to do to fix their life. That's not your job. It's God's. Our job is to love them. Our job is not to sit around and tell people all that they're doing wrong. They already know it. But how do we love them and bring them to a point where their life is changed? So I want to share a couple points with you. And none of this is rocket science. None of this is going to be like, oh, my word, he just gave us such a great truth today. I've never heard it before. But what it is put it into action in your life. Don't forget. First of all, point number one, we are not the judge. Your job is not to judge. It is not your job to judge others. It's God's. Don't be a critic, jumping on people's faults and failures. And here's what I want to say. If that's you, it shows you that you have a problem in your life, and that's insecurity. If you have to be judging everybody else and jumping on their failures and trying to tell them how to live their life, it shows that you've got an issue. I'm amazed at how many Christians try to make their preferences sin. And they judge other people by their preferences. A lot of times this happens when a person looks different. And I'm so thankful that people can come to Hope City and they can look however they look and we still love them. I don't care if you walk in the room and you have the holiest jeans in the world. Or you wear a hat in church. All I ask is that you come clothed. That's all I ask. Please. But I want you to come the way you are. I want you to come a hot mess and all. Because we're going to love you. That's what we're about. I don't ever want somebody to go, can I go there? Because I don't have the right clothes. I don't care if you come in your pajamas. Just make sure they're good. They're not revealing anything. No matter how a person looks or how a person decides to live their life, it's not our job to judge them. That's not our job. In our world, the word judgment or judging is thrown around quite a bit. Some people will say, well, you're judging me. Well, what are they really meaning by that? It could be that they're feeling convicted. It doesn't mean you can't stand for what you believe. It means how you do it is so important. It means that your job is not to put your morals on somebody else. The best thing we can do for people is introduce them to Jesus and let him speak to them. Because he can change it. We don't need a list of rules. I grew up in this time where there were so many rules. You can't go to movies because the devil is in the movie theater. You can't play with cards. You can't play with dice. You can't dance. You can't, all this stuff. Well, maybe. I can assure you, if you came from the perspective of the devil's in the theaters, he's not there, I promise you. Because I'm there quite a bit, all right? It's not about us changing people. When Jesus says, judge not, he's speaking out against an attitude of the heart that's quick to accuse and condemn without humility or gentleness. He's commanding against critiques that are made without a desire to lovingly correct or restore. It's a command against proud and condemning hearts that are quick to punish and that revel in self-righteousness. You are no better than the person that you're trying to reach. Don't ever think that you're some different level than the drug addict out on the street, because we could all be there. Don't ever think that you're better than a homeless person that you pass on the street. We could all be there. You never know their story. You never know what's going on in their life. The Passion addresses this when it says, Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. The critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. I want to ask you, how do you even treat the people in your life? Are you quick to jump on their faults? Are you quick to look at them and go, oh, I'm so much better than them. Thank God. In some spiritual way. Don't pick on other people's faults. Jump on their faults. How about you love them to wholeness? How about you come along and say, listen, I know these are some things that are happening in your life, and I'm here to love you through it. It might literally change a person if they know you love them instead of condemning them. And I know Hope City is a place where there's so many people that have this, they've got this. I just never want to go back to being a part of a body that loves to condemn and loves to call people out and loves to be spiritually more better than others. Don't forget, though, in this discussion, we talk a lot about grace. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us there will be a time when we're going to be judged. We're all going to be judged, for we must, and 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we've done in this earthly body. There will be a moment where we stand before the Lord and he goes, what did you do with what I gave you? Do not forget that. What did you do with the time? What did you do with the resources? Every one of us is going to face that. So don't forget, because it's not a moment where we can say, oh, yeah, there's just no judgment. That would be against what the Bible says. It's just not our job to be the judge. It's not our job to point things out. What if it is our job to help that person to become the person that God wants them to be? What if it's our job to wrap our arms of love around them and go, I know you're here, but I want to help you walk to there? It literally changes the world. If you are a believer and you've given your life to Jesus, the good news is that we're going to heaven. But all of us will be held accountable for how we live, but that's God's job. Point number two, and this one stuck out to me in a big way. You will be judged by the same standard you judge others. Some of you are living that right now. It's so quiet in here today. Matthew 7:2 translates this clearly. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you used as judging is the same standard which you will be judged. You know, what we see is we see the principle of sowing and reaping playing out. What kind of seeds are you planting right now? If you're planting seeds that are bad seeds, get ready, because that's what's going to come up when it's harvest time. What are you planting? The sowing and reaping. It's a principle that's throughout Scripture. If you're sowing good seed, you're going to see a good harvest. The seeds you sow will be what you're going to reap. And it might take some time for the reaping season, but it's coming. So what kind of plants are you? What kind of seeds are you placing? What kind of seeds are you planting in your relationships with people around you? Because that's what you're going to reap. That principle always plays out true. Sometimes some of you are expecting a harvest that you never planted a seed for. That doesn't happen. The saddest thing to me is when somebody ends their life and they have no one around them. That tells you a lot about the seeds that they planted. The principle always plays out. I've seen it time and time and time again, and it plays out in every area of our lives. If you want financial blessing, then sow the way God tells you to financially. If you want strong relationships and the people that love you, then sow that to begin with. Jesus models this so well with us. His love is so great. His grace is so amazing. This principle is also true in forgiveness. The Bible says if you can't forgive, then you won't be forgiven. Some of you are holding on to unforgiveness. You're like, that person did this to me. And I want to tell you something, and we talk about a lot about this in Soul Care that's coming up September 22nd. I think that's what it is. I thought I saw it on the slide. If you are holding on to unforgiveness of any kind, it's like you drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die. Well, you don't know what they did to me, Pastor. And I'm talking dark, deep inside where you're holding on to stuff. And you're like, God, I know I need to give this up, but I just can't. There is no room in the kingdom to say, well, I can't forgive somebody. You have to, because it's going to eat you alive, not the other person. And it's not for the other person, it's for you. When you can release them and say, God, I release them, and I won't judge them anymore. They hurt me deeply, but I'm giving it back to you, God, so that you can bring healing into my life, and it changes everything. If you cannot forgive, you won't be forgiven. Forgiveness, I want to tell you, is about 90% of your issue if you are holding on to unforgiveness. It's something that's so powerful. Some of you are holding on to unforgiveness for people that left your life a long time ago, and you're still holding on to it. And it's affecting you, not them. They've moved on with their life, but that's a whole different sermon. Point number three, it is not our job to change people. It's not our job to change people. It's God's, and he's really good at his job. He does not need your help. He doesn't need your help. Well, they need to change this and that, and they're like, no, it's none of your business. Our job is to reflect Jesus to everyone we meet. If we can introduce people to Jesus and show them God's love, he will take care of the rest. If you love them well, they will change because his love changes everything. If you can get people close to Jesus and teach them how to hear his voice, it will change people's hearts. Our job is not to change people, it's to bring them to Jesus. And then he takes care of the rest. But, Pastor, they need to change all this stuff. That's not your job. So make a fist and let it go. Even some of our adult children, they're making choices that you wish that they wouldn't. It's not your job to change them. It's God's. It's not your job to change them. It's God's. Let him change what he wants to change. Here's the problem when we try to change somebody, you don't truly know a person's heart. You also don't know what God wants to heal and change in that person's life first. Woo! Oh, that's just water, I promise. We were talking about this in staff a couple months ago, and I was talking about a situation where I'm like, man, I just wish that this would change, and I wish this person would deal with this stuff. And Pastor Cherie so wisely said, maybe that's not the first thing God wants to change in a person's life. Maybe that's not the first thing God wants to deal with. But I know it is. I know I have a plan for that person. And if they'll just listen and God say, no, that's not the first thing I want to deal with. It actually stopped me in my tracks. I've never thought of it like that before. Well, of course, God, I have a wonderful plan for their life and I know what they need to change. But what if that's not the first thing that God wants to change inside of them? He knows. I say this all the time. It's our job to catch the fish and God's job to clean them up and do whatever he wants to do with them. But we got to catch them first. We're never going to be able to speak into a person's life without relationship. We're never going to be able to come alongside a person if they don't know that you love them. And I'm talking about even outside the four walls of this church. Some of you need to go tomorrow to work and start loving on people instead of start trying to change them. Some of you, there are people in your life that you wish that they knew Jesus and you've been trying to witness to them, how about we start by loving them first? Loving them into the kingdom. That's what Jesus would do. Are you guys with me today? I also want to challenge you, don't do the enemy's work for him. I asked you if you're with me, and now it's like, woo! Because the enemy's job is to condemn. The enemy's job is to be the accuser. The enemy's job is to sit here and tell Liv how she's not worth it. The enemy's job is to be the one to judge us. That's what he does all the time. He's the accuser of the brethren. Don't do his job for him. Don't do his job for him. He doesn't need any help. He does a good job tearing people down. He doesn't need your help. Or he'd love it, though, because, man, if you can tear people down, don't do his job for him. He works on us all the time with guilt, shame, condemnation, judgment. That friend that you've been talking about, behind their back because you're so frustrated with them, stop. The enemy does not need help condemning people. He's very good at it. Don't partner with him to destroy another person in their faith. How many people today say, well, I don't go to church anymore because somebody judged me? I don't go to church because I'm afraid when I walk in the four walls, they're going to look at me and make a judgment call. Not here. Not here. We're not going to play religious games and act like we have it all together because we don't. Point number four, and I'm almost done, and everybody says, thank God. Okay, quick. I'm on cold medicine today, and you never know what I'm going to say. Point number four, focus on what's happening in your own life. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 7, why would you focus on the flaw in somebody else's life and fail to notice the glaring flaws of your own? How could you say to your friend, let me show you where you're wrong, when you're guilty of even more? You're being hypocritical and a hypocrite. strong words from Jesus, but he was being very serious. Because what do we hear the world say today about Christians? They're a bunch of hypocrites. They live different than how they talk. And I don't necessarily believe that. But I think if you give the enemy an inch, he loves to condemn the church and say that. And he loves to keep people out. Here's the issue. We all have enough to worry about in our own lives that we don't have to be worried about somebody else's. We're all a hot mess and it's all okay. People will focus on others' flaws because they don't want to have to take a hard look in the mirror and see their stuff. If we can focus on everybody else's issues, then we don't have to look at ours. Because we're busy focused on changing everybody around us. The thought might even come into our minds, well, at least I'm not as bad as that person. Well, at least I don't act like that. That is a hypocritical religious attitude that needs to get out of your life. Well, at least I don't go out on Friday nights and party all night long and then come to church on Sunday. You know what I'm talking about. Here's what I want at Hope City, that we're so real with each other, that when we're having a hard time, when we're having difficulties, that we don't come in here and pretend like everything's okay, but we come here to be changed. We come here to be loved by people who are not going to condemn and not judge, but are all working together to see our lives changed and transformed. Don't ever, ever, ever let the enemy convince you that you're better than that person that you're talking to. There's a saying that's so true. People that live in glass houses probably shouldn't be throwing rocks. Jesus battled this all the time with the religious leaders back in his day. They were always telling other people how they should live their lives, and they would go and do the opposite. That's called being a hypocrite. Jesus is calling us out and say, don't be a hypocrite. Don't come here and act one way and then go back to your life Monday through Saturday and act another, especially with how you treat other people. Don't come here and act like everything's together on Sunday when it's not Monday through Saturday and it's okay. Don't come here and act like you have everything together and then point it out in other people's lives when they don't and your life's a mess. That's what Jesus was trying to say. Let it be said of us that we are the same people Monday through Saturday that we are on Sunday. Let it be said by us that on social media, you're the same person as you're trying to be here on Sunday. Some of you need to, and this isn't even the message, but I feel like God's saying it, step away from your social media and stop trying to deal with stuff on there. You're never going to win that battle. You might go, Pastor, you're like all over the map. No, I'm not trying to be, but it's all coming from the same heart. Let it be said that you are the same person Monday through Saturday that you are in church here on Sunday. This kind of mentality and thinking, when you think you've got it all together and you think that you are so much better, it keeps you broken and it keeps you lost and it keeps you reliving the past because you won't ever come and be honest and say, this is who I am. This is who I am, and I got to hurry and wrap this up. The kind of mentality, this is a safe space where you can come and be honest and authentic about the kind of journey that you're on. That's why we're so passionate about creating this kind of a place where we're authentic and real, where we see people the way they are. And what I'm thankful for is Jesus doesn't keep us the way that we are. He wants to make us the way that he can see us. He doesn't keep us held up. Don't ever focus on somebody else's flaw while you're ignoring the glaring flaws in your own life. And then Jesus wrapped it up by saying, hey, if the gospel's not going to be accepted, then wash off your feet and keep moving. Your job is to present the gospel, share it with your friends. If they don't receive it, that's all upon them. And that's how Jesus ended that.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.